الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم This month of Ramadan, it's a month for all of us to reflect on each and every aspect of our deen. And one of the most important aspects of our deen is our relationship with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this month of Ramadan is a month for all of us to restore our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's also a month for us to connect ourselves back to our relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This month of Ramadan is the month for us to reclaim our identity of being a servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this month of Ramadan is also a month for us to reclaim our second most important identity, which is that we are the ummati, the followers of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have spent about the first eight, nine days speaking about the first half, and we have yet to mention the second half. And why do I call it the second half? Because in the kalama it says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And in the shahada we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. In azan, everywhere you look, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned is iman and him, Allah ta'ala mentions also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in fact, Allah says that he who obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like as if you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means that we should explore that what is our relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the first thing is that of iman. That's the first level, that we should have iman on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yes, that is the beginning. Iman in him really means that from the depth, you know, we definitely believe that the Prophet ﷺ, he was the last and final prophet, but that's just the beginning. The reality and the depth of iman is that from the depth of our heart, we have absolute certain conviction and belief that he was the absolute best of creation. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was the most perfect, the most complete of messengers, and each and everything that he did was perfect and worth emulating. That is what real iman is. Because that is iman in the Prophet ﷺ as a Nabi. Iman in him as a model. Not just as a good person or as a good Muslim. That's not enough. We have iman in the Prophet ﷺ as a Rasul, as a Nabi, as our Rasul, as our Nabi. And many times we say that we have to take this personally, as in my Rasul and my Nabi. We have to start feeling that he is mine and I'm his. He is my Nabi and I'm his ummati, I'm his follower. When you start thinking like that, when we conceive of our identity like that, a lot of things will change. Just like when you walk around, and if somewhere you feel that somebody is watching you, and if you feel that someone views you as a representative of your family, or of your university, or of your institute, if you feel that you are representing something, you will act more carefully. So as an ummati, as a follower, we are representing our Nabi on earth. So those people who don't know about the Prophet ﷺ, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims, those people who don't know about his seerah, about his biography, his life, his sunnah, his teachings, who represents those teachings? It's the Muslims. Who are the people who represent the adab, the akhlaq, the etiquettes and the character of the Prophet ﷺ? That's the Muslims. That's me and you. We are the representatives of the Prophet ﷺ, and we should think like that. So the first thing is iman. The second thing is ita'at. Ita'at, this is also another word in the Quran. It means that you obey the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't come to this earth just to leave an example of a beautiful character. He also came to this earth to give us some instructions. Some instructions which have to be followed and obeyed. If me and you, we don't obey those instructions, then technically we are not really his ummati. Right? So if you maybe were to ask a non-Muslim that, okay, if the non-Muslim was to look at you, that it's okay that you believe that this person is your prophet, but you don't do what he tells you to do. You don't follow his teachings. You don't obey his wishes. Then you'd say that, you know, I may as well believe in him as a prophet too, right? Because if I don't have to obey him, if I don't have to follow him, if all it is just a matter of stating that I'm a believer in him, then I can also do that. And this is what, you know, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab actually understood. That is why they did not take iman in the Prophet ﷺ. Because they knew that if they take iman in him, they would have to follow him. They would then have to obey him. And didn't want to do that. They didn't want to obey and follow him. Even Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, they knew what iman was. And that's why they did not take it. Now me and you, we can go back in history and then teach them a lesson and say that no. It means that you don't have to obey and follow anything. Just look at me. You can take iman and still do anything that you want. What it means is that Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, technically if you think, they were the people who saw the Prophet ﷺ and still did not take iman. They understood, however, that iman means that you have to obey and you have to follow. Even the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ, they recognized this fact better than us. We claim to be the friends of the Prophet ﷺ, the lovers of the Prophet ﷺ, but we don't follow and we don't obey. And that fact was understood even by them, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. Then the next relationship that we have in the Quran with the Prophet ﷺ, in Arabic, this is called ittiba. And ittiba means it's slightly different from ita'at. Ita'at means to obey. Ita'at means to obey, something, you know, to tell you do's and don'ts. Ittiba means to follow him. Any beyond the commandments to follow. That is what you say, you follow your leader, right? That is what people do. They have a leader, they obey the leader. That's one thing. When the leader issues some specific instruction, that's one thing. But the other is that they follow the leader. They follow in the footsteps of the leader. They do what the leader does, even when he doesn't technically specify a command to them. It's not obedience, but they follow it. And that is this word, ittiba. And that is really the asal of a Nabi. The Nabi has come as a person. The Prophet ﷺ is a person for us for whom we have to do ittiba. We have to follow the Prophet ﷺ. And that's one of our identities here. We are followers. We are believers. We are also people who obey. But we're also the followers of the Prophet ﷺ. And this actually is one of the most incredible things in the deen of Islam. That is that we follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That is really what it is all about. without the ittiba'i sunnah, following the sunnah, we cannot understand the deen of Islam. It's not possible, impossible. Ittiba'i sunnah. So for example, in one verse, Allah Ta'ala says this in the Quran, He addresses the beloved Messenger and says, Qul, that say, O my beloved Messenger, say to the people, In tuhibbuna Allah, that if these people claim to love Allah, if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then tell the believers that if they claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the moment doing? Right? He's saying that Allah, I love you. In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah. This is like you're doing dawah of your muhabbah. You are claiming that you love Allah. Allah says, no, I don't accept it as yet. In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, fattabi'uni. Tell them that they have to do ittiba of you. They must follow the sunnah. And they must come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that people must come to Him on. That's the shan of Allah. That we can't come to Allah ta'ala on our own terms, like my way. We must come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His terms. And what are the terms of Allah? Fattabi'uni. That follow my sunnah, follow the sunnah of the Prophet says. And He has made one path, one brand that is acceptable to Him. Sunnah. Sunnah brand. People today are very brand conscious. You can spot your brand from far away. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will also spot the brand of sunnah from far away. That if you had the sunnah brand, this people, this amal is already makbul. It's already acceptable. That person will be. You can love Allah. You enter, you have sunnah, you can enter Jannah, you have sunnah, you can love Allah. So then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in that ayah? That okay, in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah. You begin with this question that, Ya Allah, I want to love you. I wanted to love you. And Allah, you said that, fattabi'uni, that you do ittaba, follow the sunnah. So now I am following the sunnah. Now will you accept me as your lover? Will you accept my claim to be your lover? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحُبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ, that Allah will love you. يُحُبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and Allah will forgive all your sins. So subhanAllah, you wanted to be a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you on the sunnah. You brought the sunnah. Allah says that not only do I make you my lover, I will also make you my beloved. Sunnat equals mahbubiyat, belovedness of Allah. The more and more sunnah a person follows, the more and more they become the beloved, the mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what greater enticement in the world can we want from Allah? What more could Allah ta'ala have offered to us in the Quran? That for following the sunnah, that I will make you my beloved, my mahbub. There is nothing greater than that in the entire universe. Every lover, at the end of the day, ultimately they want to be the beloved. They want their love to be returned back. And there is nothing greater than this in the whole galaxy. And all that it contains, it cannot compare to one drop of mahbubiyah. One atom of mahbubiyah, one atom of being the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is ittiba'i sunnah. So in this month of Ramadan, this is a task. We feel that, yes, I also want to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I'm fasting, roza. I'm not fasting to stay hungry. I'm fasting so that I can draw close to Allah, become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me that becoming His beloved is going to be done by ittiba'i sunnah, by following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So, iman, ita'at, and ittiba. And then closely related to this, ittiba is another word in Quran, which is called uswa. Uswa, Allah Ta'ala uses this in the Quran, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that verily, indeed, you have for you, in the example of the Prophet ﷺ, a noble and a perfect model. Uswa is like a model, a beautiful model. Uswatun hasana. Uswa means model, hasan means beautiful. And then Allah continues that this will be, the Prophet will be a beautiful model for who? For who? For that person. Yani there is an, and every person says that I'm attracted to the sunnah, I know sunnah is beautiful. But not all of us are attracted physically to that sunnah, to the beauty of that sunnah. Why? Because Allah is saying something else in this ayah, that the sunnah will be beautiful, liman, for that person, kana yarujullaha wal yawmal akhira wa dhakara allaha kathira. For that person who, number one, desires to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, desires for the akhira. He has this desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first thing. And number two, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. So what does this mean? It means that sunnah is beautiful, but not everyone is going to be able to appreciate that beauty. Just like you have to have a certain sensibility, you have to have a certain ability to appreciate things. So an architect, you know, can come and appreciate the beauty of an architectural structure. The engineers and scientists, they can appreciate the beauty of certain models, certain diagrams, certain atoms and molecules. Just like that, there is going to be a certain type of mu'min, a believer, who is going to be able to appreciate the beauty of the sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described that moment in the Quran as that individual who has two things. Number one, that believer who yearns to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That believer who is dying to meet Allah. The believer who has so much yearning for the akhirah that he can't wait to get to the akhirah so that he can be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, that believer who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, who makes the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. So look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating the sunnah to himself. That mu'min who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yearns to meet Allah, that mu'min who thinks about Allah, remembers Allah abundantly, that mu'min is going to find the sunnah to be beautiful. And on the other hand, that mu'min who does not desire to meet Allah, does not remember Allah, does not think about Allah abundantly, they won't find the sunnah beautiful. They might find other ways of life beautiful, other ways of life attractive. Whether they're the outer ways of life or the inner ways of life, we'll find that to be attractive. That might become beautiful for him or her. Just like when a person is physically sick and they're not able to taste something, you give them biryani, they say, I don't like the taste. You give them something too sweet, I don't like the taste. Why? Because they're physically sick. Their tongue has lost that sense of taste. Just like that, somebody who is spiritually sick, they may not be able to ascertain and appreciate the beauty of the sunnah. And this is the benefit of the month of Ramadan. That in the month of Ramadan, we can become spiritually strong. Those who are sick can start to regain their spiritual health. Those who are distant can start becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there is ever a chance that we have at discovering and appreciating the beauty of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's this month. This is it. This is it, because this is the month in which we are the least spiritually sick. And therefore we have the greatest possibility of seeing and appreciating that beauty. But this day and age, especially in the Pakistani society, people present sunnah as if it's something very extremely negative. People have a very negative perception of the sunnah. Sometimes I can give you my own example at the university. Students, they fill out these evaluations and sometimes they praise. And the purpose is basically that he turned out to be nothing like he looked. So that doesn't make us happy, right? Because they're looking at the zahir, at the appearance, sunnah appearance, i.e. the khayal or the thought is that the sunnah appearance should be bad, but you turn out to be good, right? That's how the people often they view the sunnah. And this can even happen in the educated elite classes of Pakistan. Sometimes you have this word Maulvi, which is like used like a curse word, right? Maulvi actually is an Arabic word, which means Maulawiyun. Maula means Allah. Anta Maulana Fansurna Alal Qawm Al Kafirin. Quranic word, Maula. That Allah, you are our protector, Maula. And then the Ya at the end, Maulvi, the Ya that comes at the end, that comes for Nisbat. So Maulawiyun, that's in Arabic. If you translate this into Urdu, it literally means Allah Wala, a person of Allah. Now, if someone says Allah Wala to you, will you feel happy or will you feel bad? Or you want to become Allah Wala? Allah Wala in Arabic is Maulvi in Urdu, right? They have made this Maulvi. Maulvi means Allah, person of Allah. Look how concepts are so distorted. We don't even know how the concept sort of gets to us like this. A lot of this, we don't even know the seerah, the sunnah, the Islamic way of life. And we have, you know, a lot of people have no idea what the sunnah really is. And, you know, it's, you know, we have been deceived. We have been deluded. We have been distracted. We can't sort of on the day of judgment, we can't sort of grab some journalist who used to make fun of Islam and say that it's because of him I did not follow Islam. We can't pull that on the day of judgment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala asks us that why did you leave this Islam or this way of life, Allah, because of that journalist, right? Are we going to pull that person who used to mock the sunnah and present him and say, Allah, it's because of him that I did not follow the sunnah? Is that going to be an excuse? What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings, let's say, a Sikh and ask you that, look, this question that he loved Guru Nanak more than he loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at him. What would you do? What would we do if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us this even one question? That are we going to say that, yeah, Allah, yes, Allah Ta'ala, he loved this person, Guru Nanak, more than I loved the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, he modeled himself after him. But I couldn't model myself after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's something to think about, right? Look at I'll give you another example, the vegetarian. In the US, the American vegetarian, he leaves meat just because of his own personal philosophy. It's not even a religion. I had one professor in the US, and he was a vegetarian, and this was just his personal conviction, his personal philosophy. They left meat entirely for their whole life. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings him in front of us that this person didn't eat meat his whole life for his own personal philosophy, and you couldn't leave the things that the Prophet told us to leave, told you to leave? Are we going to say that, yes, Ya Allah, he is a better vegetarian than I am a Muslim? Ajib, right? In fact, the greatest thing about the people in the West is that they follow their convictions. They follow their convictions. If you were to have a roommate in America who's a vegetarian, who won't touch anything that has the slightest of meat in it, and he wouldn't, you know, he will do it his whole life. He follows what he believes. If only that one sifat could enter into us, the Muslims. If we could also follow what we believe. If only we could also follow deeply what we know to be true. If only we could also become people of ittiba. And now who is Allah Ta'ala asking us to follow? Is it some ordinary person? Is Allah Ta'ala asking us to follow some inferior life form, some inferior lifestyle? Is Allah Ta'ala asking us to take the appearance of an ugly man? Na'uzubillah. No way. Allah Ta'ala is asking us to follow the noble, the most beautiful, the most wonderful human being ever to be created in human history. Allah Ta'ala is asking us to follow the most noble, the most beautiful, the most wonderful of all the creations to ever be created by Allah. Allah Ta'ala is asking us to follow that member of His creation that in whom Allah Ta'ala has placed all the perfection of the creative act of creation. Allah Ta'ala is asking us to follow the masterpiece of His creation. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Excellent model. Everything about the Prophet ﷺ is husn. You have this other word, Mustafa. Mustafa means the chosen one. Everything about the Prophet ﷺ has been handpicked and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still we hold back. We feel shy. We feel reluctant. So the deficiency is not in our Nabi. Right? The deficiency is that we have failed to love him. And we have failed to follow him. So there is something wrong in our heart. And in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that none of you, and he was addressing the Sahaba, and by extension all the Ummah, that no believer will truly, truly, fully believe until I, yani the Prophet ﷺ, become more beloved to him more than his parents, his children, and even his own self. Now that's the mayar of Iman. That a person falls in love with the Prophet ﷺ. What would happen to us if on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala played the video of our life before the Prophet ﷺ? If Allah ta'ala calls the Prophet ﷺ and says that, okay, this is your ummati, 2020 student. Look here, this was the day, this was the night. Do we want to be a disappointment to that Prophet ﷺ? Every ummah will be raised with their Nabi. And that gives us hope. But there is also a flip side. That every Nabi will be raised with their ummati. That should also give us shame. That Ya Allah, Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ will be raised along with me. And in another hadith, it mentions that the Prophet ﷺ had so much love for his ummah that he himself will not enter Jannah until the hisab is done for every one of his ummah. He will be there. He's going to be there for us. So what are we taking to him on that day? What type of hisab, kitab are we preparing for him on that day? Such that he's going to watch it. So we are an ummah. We are an ummati. The Prophet ﷺ, who put his whole life at stake for us at Badr, Uhud, so that this deen of Islam could reach us, who used to cry at night at tahajjud for his ummah, who did every single thing in this world for his ummah, all we have to do is to follow him. What you say in Urdu, ke paki pakai kheer hai, bas khana hai. Right? You have a prepared dish, we just have to eat, we just have to follow. We are an ummati, we should put that on the board. This is the t-shirt we should wear. Why do you wear it? You can wear Armani and Gucci. Wear ummati. That's who I am. We should write that on our heart. We should put this label on our heart. That this heart belongs to Allah and His Messenger, ﷺ. That's it. No space for any other creation of Allah. No space for that person's image in my heart. This heart has to become too full with Allah and too full with the Messenger of Allah. Full occupancy. Like you say, full occupancy, no vacancy. That's the way a young person should think. And if that young person could then meet the Prophet on the Day of Judgment, then the Prophet would smile upon him or her. And what would you do to get that smile? What would you not do to get that smile? One smile, huh? One smile. I'm not even speaking about Jannat as yet. What would you do to get the Prophet to smile upon you when you're raised on the Day of Judgment? That the Prophet himself says that this is my ummati. Says to Allah Ta'ala that Allah, this is my ummati. That's enjoyment. That's maza. And I'm going to leave with one or two or three ahadiths of Mubarakah. So once the Prophet was making dua that Allahumma ghfir li Aishata ma taqaddama min zambiha wa ma ta'akhara ma asar ma asarat wa ma a'lanat, that O Allah, forgive all the sins of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, who was his wife, beloved wife, all the sins that she has done previously, all the sins that she will do later, all the sins that are hidden, all the sins that are public. Allah forgive all the sins. And Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she heard this dua and she became very happy. And she said that, Ya Rasulallah, today you have given me such an azim, such a beautiful dua. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to her that, Aisha, after every salah, I make this dua for every single member of my ummati. Allahu Akbar. Look at the love that the Prophet ﷺ has for us. And then on the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet ﷺ, Allah Ta'ala will say to him, Wala sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda, that I will continue to give you so much until you become a radi. And the Prophet ﷺ said that I will not become a radi until the last member of my ummati will enter into Jannah. So subhanallah, look at the love that the Prophet ﷺ has for his ummati. For 1400 years ago, in the darkness of the night, in a simple bedding, simple hujra, the Prophet ﷺ, throughout the night, he used to be making a one-word dua. Ummati, ummati, ummati. Allah, my ummah, my ummah, my ummah. And his wife, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says that the tears would be falling from the eyes of the Prophet ﷺ, and they'll be falling so much, it would seem as if it's raining. And there would a pool of water would come on the ground because of those tears. That's how much love the Prophet ﷺ had for me and you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave one dua, one very special dua to all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is the dua which when the Nabi of Allah will make, that this dua will be accepted as it is. So different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they made their dua. So once someone asked that, Ya Rasulullah, have you made your dua? What was your dua? And the Prophet ﷺ said that, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has given me that dua, but I have not used my dua in this dunya. I have saved that dua in Qiyamah. And on that day, I'm going to make dua to Allah ta'ala, that O Allah, enable every single member of my ummati to enter into Jannah. Every single member of my ummah to enter into Jannah. This is the love that the Prophet ﷺ had for me and you. And the books, it's mentioned that when was the last illness of the Prophet ﷺ, the last moments of his life, he became very ill and he had fever. And the fever was so intense that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says that I put some kind of blanket on him. I covered him. And then I brought a bowl of water. And I would dip some cloth in that bowl of water and then wipe the face, the noble face of the Prophet ﷺ, to lessen that pain. And then when I saw that the pain of the Prophet ﷺ is so much at that time, I asked, Ya Rasulullah, that I've never seen such an intense fever before in my life. What kind of a fever is this? And at that time, the Prophet ﷺ replied that, Aisha, that the pain that a mu'min feels at the time of their death, because of that, their sins are forgiven. So I made dua to Allah Ta'ala, that O Allah, when the time comes for me to leave this world, Allah, give me more taklif, give me all the pain, and in return of that pain, Allah, forgive the sins of my ummah. And that's the reason why I'm in so much pain. The Prophet, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was withholding, he was doing bardasht of that pain for us. And at that time, there was a knock on the door. And they asked, who is it? And they got the reply, Jibreel alayhi salam and Israel alayhi salam. that angel who's responsible for taking the ruh, they want to seek permission in order to enter. And the Prophet ﷺ gave them permission to enter. And when they entered, they said that, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to meet you. Allah ta'ala is calling you. And the Prophet ﷺ said that Jibra'il, first go back to Allah ta'ala and ask that when I depart from this world, what will happen to my ummah? What will happen to my ummah? So Jibra'il al-Islam, he went, asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Jibra'il, convey my message to the Prophet ﷺ that after you, we will take care of your ummah. We won't leave them lawaris. We won't leave them bereft and deprived. We will take care of your ummah. And then after that, when the Prophet ﷺ got this affirmation and confirmation, then he gave Ijazah permission to Malik al-Maut to take his ruh. And he left this world. There's a hadith that once the Prophet ﷺ was praying in Baytullah Sharif, and the unbelievers of Quraysh, they saw that he was praying and they waited for him to go for sajda. And he went into sajda, they dragged the corpse of a camel over him to punish him, to hurt him, to torture him. And eventually some sahaba, they showed up and they dragged the corpse of the animal off him. And then he finished his salah. And then when he was going home, there's some youth of Makkah Mukarma, some unbelievers, who started to tease him, started to mock him, started pelting him with stones, so much so that his face started to bleed. And then when he went home, one of the Sahaba Ikram, they saw this, they saw that the Prophet ﷺ was taking the direction of the home of his daughter, Sayyidatina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala an. So that Sahabi, he went straight and quickly and said to her that, look, your father has been wounded in such and such a way, and you should prepare water for him so that he can wash his wounds. So the daughter, she quickly went and she got the water, put it inside a bowl. And when the Prophet ﷺ came to her, she presented this bowl to him so that he could wash the wounds from his face. And when the Prophet ﷺ lifted that bowl of water to his face, she was watching him. So the Prophet ﷺ saw in the water, in the reflection of that water, he saw the face of his daughter, and he saw that his daughter was crying. So he put the bowl down. He did not attend to his wounds. Now imagine that, first of all, the Prophet ﷺ is wounded physically. Then imagine how much of a wounded heart he would have had, because he loved for the people to come to Iman, and it would hurt him that so many people from his own city, they were not accepting Islam. His own tribe, Quraysh, they were not accepting Iman. It would hurt him deeply that the young men and the youth of Makkah, they had not accepted Iman. So actually, much more than a wounded face was this wounded heart. But when he saw his own daughter, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, crying, he put the water down. And he said to her that, O Zainab, don't cry. Don't cry. I swear by that being who sent me with this message, yani Allah. I swear that by that being that the message with which I've been charged to deliver, this will spread to the four corners of this earth. In other words, don't cry, because even if the youth of the people of Quraysh are not taking Iman in me now, Allah Ta'ala has revealed to me that this deen of Islam will spread all over the earth. There will be many other youth who will take Iman in me. There'll be youth in 2020 who will take Iman in me. So we should think that the Prophet ﷺ had so much husn-e-zan. He had so much husn-e-zan. He had such positive thinking, good thoughts about us. He had so much umid and hope that after me, this deen of Islam will spread over the whole world. And there'll be many other nawjawan, many other youths, and many other people. They will bring Iman in me. And from those people, I'm taking hope. They are the source of support and strength for me right now. And the question for us is, that, have we fulfilled the hopes of the Prophet ﷺ? if he were to look at us right now, would we give him that tasalli, that consolation? The fact that the kuffar, the Quraysh, the unbelievers, the youth of Makkah, they did not have iman in him. Are we living that life? That can we give tasalli and consolation to the Prophet ﷺ? That is how much hope he had in us. And the last thing I'll mention is the other hadith, that once the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with his companion Sahaba, and then he started making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he made dua that, Ya Allah, unite me with my ahibba. Ahibba in Arabic means my lovers. So the Sahaba were amazed that, Ya Rasulullah, we are sitting here with you. Who else on earth are your lovers except for us? So the Prophet ﷺ said to them that, oh my Sahaba, oh my companions, yes, you indeed, you love me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just revealed to me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has sent this revelation upon me that there will come a time in the future when there will be people who have never seen me. They've never seen me. You, Sahaba, you have seen me. You have seen a revelation descend upon me. In future, there'll be people who have never heard me recite a revelation from my tongue. You have heard that recitation, that revelation. There will be people who have never seen Angel Jibra'il alayhi salam descend to bring me that revelation. Some of you have even seen that. You have seen Angel Jibra'il bringing the revelation. There'll be people in the future who have never seen me, who have never heard me, who have never met me, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told me that they would love me so much. And this is an Arabic expression, that if they could, they would come to me walking on their heads. And I was so amazed that there will be people like that in the future who would love me so much. I made dua to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, unite me with them right now. And the Prophet ﷺ is feeling that desire, that tadap in his heart, that such an ashik, such a lover of Allah, that Allah, I want to meet him right now. Allah mujhe abhi mulaqat karate. That he hasn't listened to me, he hasn't heard me, he hasn't seen me, and still he has so much muhabbat for me. Allah, unite me with that person right now. Unite me with them. And that is our potential today. Me and you, we have that possibility, we have that potential. That are we those future people that the Prophet ﷺ knew that we have never met him? Yes, right? We have never met him, yes. We have never seen him, yes. We have never heard him, yes. Do we have that love for him? That's the question mark. That we would walk so much love that we would walk on our heads. This is like a metaphor. That we would do anything just to meet him. And if we do, then you know we would do anything to meet him in Jannah for eternity. Right? That's the dream of an ummati. Every ummati, this is their dream that we want to, they would dream to be an eternal sahabi. Right? A sahaba for eternity. A sahaba forever to be with the Prophet ﷺ in Jannatul Firdaws for all of time. And that's the potential. And we would die for that. Right? We would give up anything for that. So we must start learning to give up anything for that. That is what it means to be an ummati of the Prophet ﷺ. An eternal sahabi. So may Allah Ta'ala give all of us the ability to increase in our love for him, to increase in our love for his sunnah, to increase in our love for his lovers, to increase in our love for all those things that are beloved to him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us to be amongst his sahaba, among his companions in the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And make dua, inshallah. Subhana rabbil al-wahhab, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. يا الله يا رب كريم، اللہ ہم ظاہر میں آپ کے بندے ہیں، اللہ حقیقت میں بہت گندے ہیں. یا رب کریم ہمارے دل کی گندگی کو دور فرما، ہماری سوچ کی گندگی کو دور فرما، اللہ ہمارے عملوں کی گندگی کو دور فرما. یا رب کریم ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما، دلوں کو پاک فرما، دلوں کے اوپر سے ظلمت کو دور فرما، اللہ دلوں پر جو میل ہے اس میل کو دور فرما. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو اللہ منور فرما، اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما. اللہ اپنی محبت، اپنے عشق کی آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما. ہمارے انگ انگ سے اپنے ذکر کو جاری فرما، روئے روئے سے اپنے ذکر کو جاری فرما، ہڈی ہڈی بوٹی بوٹی اپنی محبت نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہم نے تمام گناہوں سے توبہ کرتے ہیں، اللہ ہمارے تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما. اللہ آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا، التائب من الذنب کما لا ذنب له، گناہوں سے توبہ کرنے والا ایسا ہی ہے جیسے اس نے گناہ کیا ہی نہ ہو. یا رب کریم آج ہمارے تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے، ہماری توبہ کو قبول فرما لیجئے. اللہ گناہوں کی وجہ سے جو دوری ہے اس دوری کو ختم فرما دیجئے. اللہ ہمیں اپنا قرب عطا فرما، اپنی رضا، اپنی لقاء عطا فرما. یا رب کریم اپنی محبت، اپنی معرفت نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم رمضان المبارک مہینہ ہے، اللہ اس کا پہلا عشرہ رحمتوں کا عشرہ ہے. اللہ اپنی رحمت کی نظر فرما دیجئے، اللہ اپنی رحمت ہمیں عطا فرما دیجئے، اپنی رحمت سے ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. اللہ کوئی اعمال نہیں جو آپ کو پیش کر سکیں. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہم پہ مہربانی فرما دیجئے. یا اللہ ہمیں بہت ڈر لگتا ہے اس دعا سے جو آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے مانگی، جو سیدنا جبرائیل علیہ السلام نے مانگی، اور آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے بد دعا پہ آمین فرمایا کہ برباد ہو جائے وہ شخص جس کو رمضان کا مہینہ ملا اور پھر بھی اپنی مغفرت نہ کر سکا. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، اللہ ہمارے پاس کوئی اور دوسرا راستہ نہیں، اللہ ہماری مغفرت فرما دیجئے. اللہ دن گزرتے جا رہے ہیں، رات گزرتی جا رہی ہے، یا رب کریم ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ جتنے گناہ کیے اللہ سب کو معاف فرما. اللہ جو آنکھوں سے کیے ان کو معاف فرما، جو زبان سے کیے ان کو معاف فرما، اللہ جو دل کے ارادوں میں کیے ان کو معاف فرما، اللہ جو سوچوں میں کیے ان کو معاف فرما. یا رب کریم اپنی رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما. اللہ گناہ ہم نہیں کرنا چاہتے، نفس و شیطان ہمارے ساتھ لگا ہے، گناہ کروا دیتا ہے. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ نفس و شیطان کے خلاف اللہ اپنی حفاظت نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہمارے تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما. یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت کی نگاہ نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ ہر رات میں لاکھوں لوگ جہنم سے بری ہوتے ہیں. یا رب کریم، اللہ آج کی رات میں اللہ ہمارے ناموں کو بھی جہنم سے بری فرما دیجئے. اللہ ہم بھی آپ سے جہنم سے پناہ مانگتے ہیں. اللہ ہمیں اپنی پسندیدہ جگہ جنت عطا فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ایک رحمت کی نظر ہم پہ ڈال دیجئے. اللہ ایک بار ہمیں اپنی مسکراہٹ کے ساتھ دیکھ لیجئے. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ اچھے اوپر اپنے اوپر نجاست مل لیتا ہے، سب اس کو اپنے سے دور کر دیتے ہیں کہ جب بدبو آ رہی ہے نجاست کو دھو. وہ بچہ پھر اپنی ماں کے پاس آتا ہے کہ امی، ہر بندے نے مجھے اپنے سے دور کر دیا، آپ مجھے پاک کر دیجئے، صاف کر دیجئے. ماں خود بھی ناراض ہوتی ہے، کیوں اپنے آپ کو تم نے میلا کیا، لیکن ماں کے دل میں محبت ہے، شفقت ہے، جانتی ہے کہ بچہ تو میرا ہی ہے. وہ اس کو دھو لیتی ہے، صاف کرتی ہے، نہلاتی ہے، پھر اس کو خوشبو لگاتی ہے، نئے کپڑے پہناتی ہے اور پھر اپنے سینے سے لگا لیتی ہے. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہم نے بھی اپنے گناہوں کو، اپنے آپ کو گناہوں سے میلا کر دیا ہے. یا رب کریم، اللہ جس طرح آپ نے ماں کے دل میں اس بچے کی محبت رکھی ہے، اللہ اس سے کئی گنا زیادہ محبت اللہ آپ کے دل، آپ کے نزدیک، ہمارے آپ کے پاس ہے. یا اللہ، یا رب کریم آپ اپنے بندوں سے، ماں سے بہت زیادہ محبت کرتے ہیں. اللہ 100 ماں، 1000 ماں، اللہ جتنی مائیں ہیں، اللہ چاہے حیوانات میں ہوں، چاہے انسان میں ہوں، سب ماؤں کی محبت کو جمع کر دیا جائے، اللہ آپ کی محبت اس سے بھی زیادہ ہے، اس سے بھی زیادہ ہے، اس سے بھی زیادہ ہے. اللہ ہم آپ کو آپ کی محبت کا واسطہ دیتے ہیں. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہمیں پاک کر دیجئے. اللہ ہمیں اپنے سے دور نہ فرمائیے. اللہ ہمیں ناراض نہ ہوئیے. اللہ ہم پہ غصہ نہیں ہوئیے. یا या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह हम गलती कर बैठे, अब आपके पास आए हैं, अल्लाह हमें धो दीजिए, अल्लाह हमारे गुनाहों को दूर कर दीजिए, मैल को मिटा दीजिए, या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से या अल्लाह हमें पाक फरमा दीजिए, और या अल्लाह इसके बाद हमें तकवा वाला लिबास अता फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह तकवे वाला लिबास अता फरमा दीजिए, और अल्लाह हमें अपना कुर्ब नसीब फरमा, अल्लाह हमें अपनी रज़ा अता फरमा, अल्लाह हमें अपनी लिका नसीब फरमा, अल्लाह हमें अपने महबूब महबूबियत नसीब फरमा, या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह हमें अपने मुहिब्बीन मंदों में शामिल फरमा दीजिए, अपने मुकर्रबीन मंदों में शामिल फरमा दीजिए, या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह अल्लाह हमें अपना बना दीजिए, अल्लाह हमारे दिल में अपनी मोहब्बत को खूब बढ़ा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमें अपने दिल के अंदर आपकी मोहब्बत महसूस करने की तौफीक अता फरमा, दिल में अल्लाह अपना कुर्ब महसूस करने की तौफीक अता फरमा, अल्लाह दिल के अंदर यूँ महसूस हो जैसे आप हमसे खुश हैं, आप हमसे राज़ी हैं, आप हमें देख के मुस्करा रहे हैं, अल्लाह हमें ऐसी मोहब्बत वाली कैफियत नसीब फरमा, ऐसी मोहब्बत वाली कैफियत अल्लाह हम सबको अता फरमा, या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह अपनी मोहब्बत के अंदर अल्लाह ज़िंदगी गुजारने की तौफीक अता फरमा, या रब्बे करीम इस मोहब्बत के अंदर दवाम अता फरमा, रसूख अता फरमा, शिद्दत अता फरमा, इंतहा अता फरमा, या रब्बे करीम रहमत वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह आपके प्यारे यूसुफ़ अलैहिस्सलाम करीम थे, उनके सामने जब उनके भाई माफ़ी मांगने के लिए आए तो उन्होंने उनको माफ़ फरमा दिया था, कह दिया था ला तसरीबा अलैकुम अल्यौम, कि जाओ मैंने सबको माफ़ कर दिया, अल्लाह आप भी तो सब करीमों से ज़्यादा करीम हैं, या रब्बे करीम आप हमें भी माफ़ फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह आप हमारे दोनों गुनाहों को माफ़ फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह अपनी रहमत का इजहार फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह मेहरबानी फरमा दीजिए, हमारी इन दुआओं को अपनी रहमतों से कबूल फरमा लीजिए, अल्लाह हमारा हाल तो यूसुफ़ अलैहिस्सलाम के भाइयों जैसा है, अल्लाह वो आए थे सख्त मुश्किल की हालत में थे और कहते थे कि हम गल्ला तो आपसे पूरा मांगते हैं लेकिन हमारे पास कीमत पूरी नहीं है, हम कीमत पूरी अदा नहीं कर सकते लेकिन पूरा पूरा गल्ला आपसे मांगते हैं, आप कुछ सदका हमें दे दीजिए, या रब्बे करीम, सैयदना यूसुफ़ अलैहिस्सलाम बहुत करीम थे, उन्होंने अपने भाइयों को माफ़ कर दिया था और फिर सदके के तौर पर उनको दे भी दिया था गल्ला, या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह हम भी आपसे यही फरियाद करते हैं कि अल्लाह हमने ना कीमत नहीं है, अल्लाह हमारे पास कोई अमाल नहीं है जो पेश कर सके, अल्लाह कोई अमल नहीं जो अल्लाह आपके सामने पेश करें, या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह आप सबकी रहमत के सदके मांगते हैं, अल्लाह हमें पूरी की पूरी मगफिरत अता फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमें पूरी माफ़ी अता फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमने पूरी अपनी रहमतें अता फरमा, हमें हिदायत और बरकतें अता फरमा, अल्लाह हमारे साथ भी तरस वाला मामला फरमा, अल्लाह नरमी वाला मामला फरमा, अल्लाह आपको नरमी पसंद है, आपने कुरान में हमें फरमाया वल याफू वल यस्फहू, कि एक दूसरे को माफ़ कर दो, उनकी गलतियों को दरगुजर कर दो, अल्लाह जब हमें यह हुक्म है कि हम और बंदों की गलतियों को दरगुजर कर दें, माफ़ कर दें, अल्लाह हम भी तो आपके बंदे हैं, अल्लाह हमारी गलतियों को माफ़ फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमारी कोताही कमियों को दरगुजर फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमें अपने मुकर्रर बंदों में शामिल फरमा लीजिए, या रब्बे करीम रहमत वाला मामला फरमा, अल्लाह इन दुआओं को अपनी रहमतों से कबूल फरमा, रब्बना तकब्बल मिन्ना इन्नका अंतस समीउल अलीम वतुब अलैना इन्नका अंतत तवाबुर रहीम, वसल्लल्लाहु तआला अला हबीबिही खैर खल्किही मुहम्मदिन व अला आलिही व सहबिही अजमाईन बिरहमतिका या अरहमर राहिमीन।